Hello, everyone, and welcome to the second episode of the Parkmanship Podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Ryan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we just wanted to start off by saying thank you to everyone for giving us a great amount of feedback and following us on all of our social media platforms. If you want to search for us, we're under Parkmanship Podcast as one word on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Yep.
And then we are working on a website where we will hopefully be posting some articles and other cool stuff soon.
Yep.
Yeah. So keep an eye out for that.
It's going to be great.
Oh, yeah. All right. So let's just get right into it with a new story of the week. Andrew, do you have anything for us?
I'm going to start us off on a somber note. Hopefully you have a more positive article. They did an update to the Gabby case, who was found in Grand Tetons National Park.
Yeah, she I think the investigation was there, but they found the body in a national forest. Bordering the park.
Unfortunately, she died of strangulation. That was confirmed today by a coroner in Wyoming. Hopefully Ryan has something more positive to talk about than I do.
Yeah, that's kind of a dour note to start off on.
Yeah, it's the biggest article of the week so far, though, involving the national parks, I think.
Yeah. The U.S. Senate held a hearing from their National Park Subcommittee where they talked about two bills where they're thinking about establishing new park units. The first one is the Amatchie, I'm probably mispronouncing that, but I'm going to go with that, National Historic Site, which is in the state of Colorado. And if it were to be passed into law, it would become a unit of the National Park Service to preserve, protect, and interpret a site where incarceration of civilians of Japanese ancestry during World War II were held. The area is also known as the Granada Relocation Center. And it would also highlight the military service of some of the incarcerees at this site. So far, the bill has actually passed the House of Representatives, so it's now just waiting on full Senate approval. So that's getting pretty close to becoming the newest national park site, which would be something like 424, I think.
I believe so, yeah.
Then they were also talking about a second one, the Blackwell School National Historic Site in Texas, which would highlight one of the first segregated schools for Hispanic people, which is another dark moment in our history. That bill has only been brought up to the Senate subcommittee. However, it is going to be brought to a House subcommittee next week. So there's definitely some progress on some new national park sites potentially soon.
I do have something to end us on a more positive note. Otis did win the Fat Bear Week again this year.
I did see that.
Just a follow-up from last week's episode. Very exciting. But yeah, it's exciting. We're coming up on almost 425 national parks and park sites.
Yeah, it just keeps on growing. All right. So that's probably going to bring us to our main segment for this episode, which is we're going to talk about our two local national park sites. Mm-hmm. They are the Weir Farm National Historical Park and then the Appalachian National Scenic Trail. Go ahead.
No, it's very weird because we're 7 minutes apart, but our parks, the closest park sites we associate with where we live are drastically different parts of Connecticut.
Yeah, so I actually did some research on Apple Maps and I discovered that you live 25 minutes away from Weir Farm and 29 minutes away from the closest Appalachian Trailhead, which is the Swamp River Boardwalk.
Yep.
Meaning Weir Farm's closest for you. However, for me, the Swamp River Boardwalk is 22 minutes away.
Seven. So the
Appalachian Trail is actually my closest unit.
Yeah. And we're not even, I think we're just about a mile apart down the road.
Yeah, we're right next, almost next door.
Yeah.
So weird how just that small distance changes everything.
Yeah. If you want to, let's start with Weir Farm, a lesser known park site in our area.
Yep.
Do you want to explain what it is?
Sure.
You know, what's going on there?
Of course. So Weir Farm National Historical Park is the home and studio of America's most beloved impressionist, J. Alden Weir. Those are the words of the National Park Service, not mine. But impressionism, to my understanding, is a art style that's more realistic. And it's a style that Weir brought over from, I believe, France. And he was the one that made it famous in the United States.
Yeah. From what I remember, he lived in New York City and wanted a place to retreat to paint. And that's where Weir Farm is today.
Yep. It's located right in the border of Ridgefield and Wilton, Connecticut. So down in the southwestern section of Connecticut. But anyways, the park includes Weir's farm, his studio where he worked, as well as his son-in-law's studio. His son-in-law was Mahanri Young, who is the grandson of the Mormon leader Brigham Young, who I believe has a university named after him. The park also has a bunch of fields and Weir Pond, which is a nice place to walk around.
It's probably my favorite area of the park is Weir Pond.
Me too. So now that we've kind of given a basic overview, Andrew, when was the first time you visited Weir Farm?
I want to say it was 2016.
Really? Okay.
Whenever we went. Because I remember that because we were, it was just like a, we started to get into the national parks and you found that national park site and it was a nice, I think it was like summer day and it was really beautiful with all the flowers and the garden going, you know, the garden in full spring. And, you know, we did a couple hikes, we did the field and then we went to, did the pond loop where you proceeded to point out Be Bear Aware, which is posted around the park.
One of my favorite signs. I love to point that out at every single park.
This is true. It is one of your favorite signs.
It is. I've not seen any bears at Weir Farm, though.
No. I don't think Connecticut's known for bears.
No, I've seen a bunch.
Yeah, but...
Not a bunch, but a few in Connecticut. Yeah,
not in our area. I know up north there's more bear sightings than there are, you know, down in our populated area.
Yeah. So my first visit was probably a decade ago now, I want to say. Probably like 2012-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I went with my Aunt Lori and Aunt Amy. They were going and asked if I wanted to go. And at that point, I was like, yeah, of course, I want to go to a national park site. And it was a winter day, so it must have been like December or January, something like that. Because I remember there still being snow on the ground. So all we were able to do is really just walk around the main area. But we did get to meet the artisan residents that was there at that time. Because it's a very artistic specific park. So they always have an artist in residence program that where someone's living there working on art every single day.
Yes, they do. I believe it's the... I think they live in the house near the house nearest the parking area.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Yeah.
Spot on.
Yeah. It's a nice little intersection there because the park is like in the middle of like not a, it's like split down a road there. So it's on multiple sides of the road. It's kind of interesting.
It is. And they expanded the parking lot recently too.
Did they really? I'll have to go out and check it.
They did.
Once I get, you know, over this cold.
Yep.
What is your favorite part? What's your favorite part of the Ranger Tour?
So the Ranger Tour we did once.
Yeah.
And it was like, so at the park, they only run Ranger services from, I want to say Memorial Day to Halloween.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
And one year we're like, we just have to do this. So it was definitely closing in on Halloween. So we went in and you go in and then you watch a video in the back of the visitor center.
Yep.
And I honestly forget what the video was about. It wasn't memorable one.
No, and we've done a bunch of those where we sit in and watch a video, then do the tour. I think the most memorable one was the one in Maryland,
Baltimore. I think this is something we should do a top three list at some point in the future. I'm going to say, my opinion.
Definitely. I think after that, we went into the main house.
Yes, that's correct.
Which we got to see the living quarters and stuff like that as it was when the Weirs owned it.
Yep. They had books everywhere.
Yeah, I do remember that. Library. Yeah, it was basically a library. To give you a perspective, you walk out of the visitor center and you cross the street and the Weir home is right there in the back.
Yeah, it's hard to miss. There's only two big red buildings on the property. One's the visitor center, one's the Weir home.
Correct.
And then at the end of the tour, after you're going through all the rooms, they bring you out onto the deck, which I thought was pretty cool because that's a nice elevated view of the area that you don't get to experience otherwise.
Yeah. Most of the time the house is closed to unless the Ranger tour is going on.
Yep, that's correct. So you were earlier saying that Weir Pond is probably your favorite part of the park. Are you sticking with that?
Hands down, yeah.
Interesting. Because I kind of agree with you.
Really?
It's definitely, it's probably the best part of the park. It's the only place that's like remotely resembles a hike in the park. It's your best chance of seeing wildlife. I've seen deer, I've seen turkeys, I've seen fish, I've seen ducks over there. I do want to point out two other interesting parts of the park, and one of them is the Young Studio.
Okay.
Which, have you ever done that?
No, I haven't had a chance to go into it. No.
I went with my sister once, and the Young Studio, and there's another studio, but I forget the name. They're both open whenever the Ranger services are going on, and you just walk in and there'll be a volunteer that'll go through everything. But they have some pretty interesting sculptures in there. Like Weir stuff is more paintings, but I guess Mahanri Young's more sculptures. So I just found that I found the sculptures quite interesting in that shed.
Okay. I'll definitely have to check it out next time I go or we go.
Yeah, for sure.
Any tips for a first time visitor?
Oof. Let's see.
Because I have one for families, because mine would be, they do have layout clipboards, and I believe it's art material. I don't know if it's color pencils or crayons, so the kids can do some of the Junior Ranger stuff. Like, I think it's drawing a plant there or drawing a scenery. I find that kind of neat that they just leave it out there and kids can, with families with kids can just, you know, take advantage of that. You know, kind of keep them distracted while you're doing the hike.
Yeah, that looked like a lot of fun. And they had that out during COVID last year, or during the summer. And they had the Junior Ranger badges that you could just take once you completed them. I really wanted to do it, and I never did. You never went with me.
No, we'll definitely have to do it.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of fun.
That was my tip for first-time visitors.
My tip is really just make sure you're going between Memorial Day and Halloween, just because that's when most of the stuff is open. I mean, you can go around hiking whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going outside of those times, definitely check out the Weir Preserve. That offers some nice hiking, and there's parts of the park that just lead right into the preserve, even though it's not part of the national park site itself.
Okay.
All right, so last thing I have for you in terms of Weir Farm is recently, actually, I think it was this past January, the park used to be called the Weir Farm National Historic Site, but it got the upgrade to Weir Farm National Historical Park. Do you agree with that decision?
So I can't really agree or disagree because I don't really know the difference, to be quite honest with you. If you want to inform me, maybe I can make a decision based on that.
Sure. So the National Park Service says a National Historic Site preserves places and commemorates people, events, and activities important in the nation's history. National historical parks are commonly areas of greater physical extent and complexity than national historic sites. So that's straight from the National Park Service. And from what I gather, historic sites, historical parks, memorials, recreation areas, parkways, and military sites all go through the same funding process.
I really don't know. Because, like, it's not, I don't think it's, like, a heavy wildlife area.
Yes. To me, it seems just like a...
funding thing.
A lazy way to get, to boost tourism, really. Okay. Just because Weir Farm, as much as I like it, is kind of a small park site.
It's also in the middle of nowhere.
Kind of in the middle of nowhere. Yeah. And it's really just about one thing. It's about these family of artists. So it's kind of limited in like what it was created for. So like National Historical Park, I think of like Harper's Ferry, for instance, which that has like top class hiking. It's got Civil War history. It's got American Revolution history. It's got African-American history. It has so much things going for it. So obviously it deserves the historical park designation. It's also in three states. So
yeah, Weir Farm's like maybe on an acre.
Yeah, something like that. No, probably more.
Yeah, I was going to say it's an acre, 2 acres at max. But definitely, I don't disagree with it, but I also don't understand the reasoning besides it. No, more funding, I guess.
Well, from what I gathered, they go through the same funding. Like, it doesn't change how they're funded going from one designation to the other. It's not like going from national historical site to national park.
Okay.
Which would be a different funding process.
Yeah, I really don't have an opinion on it because it doesn't really change it unless they're changing the sign, because I really like the sign there because it's got a giant paintbrush.
That's a fun sign. I was there last month. I still haven't changed the sign yet. It's still National Historic Site.
Okay. All right. Because like every park's got its own unique sign, and I think Weir Farms has the most unique sign that we've been to for park or for historic site.
It's definitely the most colorful that I've seen.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll have to post a picture of it on our social media pages.
Yeah. Let's hop into the Appalachian Trail. Yeah. That's a more of you expertise because I've only done it less than a handful of times.
Yes. So the famous Appalachian Trail, the Appalachian National Scenic Trail, as it's known by its national park name, it's a famous hiking trail that stretches continuously from Maine to Georgia. And in Connecticut, there's a section that stretches from Sherman to Salisbury, and it mostly follows the Housatonic River. So, Andrew, is there actually, what was your first visit to the Appalachian Trail? Do you know?
About 4 years ago with you in the winter, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Actually, I remember because I showed up in the wrong types of shoes and I was miserable because my shoes were full of snow. I do remember now.
That's a fun introduction to otherwise great park.
Oh, it's great. Don't go in sneakers in a foot of snow is my one tidbit of knowledge. Yeah.
Also bring an extra pair of socks in that case.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah, I think one of my first, I don't actually know what my first time going was because I go all the time on the Appalachian Trail. I was actually there today just to catch the sunset. And it might have been when I was in high school, my uncle took me to do like a 10-mile section. That's the first one I can remember and had a lot of fun. It was a Christmas gift.
It was Uncle Wayne who took you?
Yep.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because you guys do all those big hikes together. So.
Yep. So do you have a particular section that you like the most of the Appalachian Trail, a specific trailhead or a specific part of the trail?
The one in New Fairfield, because it does go by...
Wait, which one in New Fairfield? There's no part in New Fairfield.
You know, what the heck's that? The one that's at the entrance by the Housatonic.
I don't remember. Is it Bulls Bridge or River Road?
Bulls Bridge.
Bulls Bridge, that's a nice one.
Yeah. I just think it's nice and scenic there.
Yeah, that's... I can't argue with that one. My favorite might be, though, Bear Mountain, the Salisbury one, because there's also a Bear Mountain in New York that it goes through. I'm talking about the Bear Mountain in Salisbury. And that's my favorite one just because it has kind of a subalpine environment.
Okay.
Which is pretty unique for Connecticut. And then it's also the tallest mountain in Connecticut. So you actually get a pretty good sunset over there, and you get a really good sunrise over there. So that's probably my favorite part of the Appalachian Trail.
Okay. All right. Hold on.
Do you have a favorite or most memorable visit to the Appalachian Trail?
I think the one where we did it in the snow and I was ill prepared was pretty fun. That's usually the most fun or the most spontaneous.
What about the two times you went in the middle of the night and got scared like 10 minutes in and turned back?
Not as fun. I'm not the biggest fan of night hiking. We did hear other people on that night hike.
Yeah, that was kind of creepy.
Yeah, that's most of the reason I got kind of spooked.
Gotcha. So speaking of night hiking, my favorite memory that I have on the Appalachian Trail was the first time I went to go see the sunrise on Bear Mountain. I went in the middle of the night, pitch black, but it was pitch black. So that meant I actually got to see the Milky Way once I got into like the subalpine environment. So that was pretty awesome. Have you seen the Milky Way before?
I have not, because our air is too light polluted. I do want to see the Milky Way. I do want to do a star tour. We were going to do one at Glacier, but due to the smoke, we couldn't really see anything. I do want to do one when we go out to Utah, because I heard the night sky tour at Arches National Park is amazing.
Yeah, I really want to do just go out at night when I was in Zion earlier this year, but I didn't have the opportunity to. I was kind of disappointed with that.
Yeah, that's like something on my bucket list is to see the sky without any light pollution, or the least light pollution I've ever seen it with.
For sure. So, Andrew, do you have any tips for first-time visitors to the Appalachian National Scenic Trail?
Come prepared with the correct gear. I will reference the snow day trip as a good example. Don't wear sneakers when it's not the correct conditions. Bring enough water.
For sure.
Good tip, you know, everyone knows is once half the water is gone, turn back.
Or bring a water filter.
Or do that.
That's a big through hiking trail, and a lot of people rely on water filters to lighten the load of their backpacks.
Yep. Ryan, do you have any tips?
I have a couple. Right. They're specifically Connecticut related, because we're from Connecticut. So in Connecticut, if you're looking to go to the Appalachian National Scenic Trail and do some hiking as a beginner, I would recommend for beginners go to either Bulls Bridge or the Housatonic River Walk, because they are both scenic, they're right on the water, and they're mostly flat. And both of those trailheads are in Kent, Connecticut. And then if you're looking for the park sign, because whenever you go to a national park site, you kind of have to try to get a picture with the park sign.
It's like an unspoken rule. You have to.
Exactly. So the park sign for Connecticut for the Appalachian Trail is on River Road. So that's another reason why to go to the River Road trailhead.
Yeah. I mean, did you really go to a park if you didn't take a picture with the park sign?
I don't know. Sketchy if you don't get the picture.
I mean, there was that one park in Maryland we didn't get the picture of the sign, mostly because we couldn't find it.
Oh, is this Piscataway?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying last episode, we did find the boat ramp, but we just couldn't find the rest of the park.
No, it was in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
All right. What were you going to say, Ryan? Sorry.
I believe that's it for the Appalachian Trail. I think it's on to our next segment.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So we got some feedback, and I think we're definitely going to go with a fry review segment because that is your favorite food. It's correct. The one thing you get at all the restaurants. So I think we got to do a fry review.
Oh, I know. Where do I even start?
Well, I think we should do one restaurant for every main park site that we talk about. So like if we go back to last week's episode, I think we have to do restaurant in Glacier National Park.
Many Glacier Hotel are you talking about?
Yeah, Many Glacier Hotel.
They were good. The problem with Many Glacier and the current food situation there is it's all takeout, so it's not really you place your order and you go get it and it's in a bag. But the fries were pretty good there. Am I doing like a grade system? Because I was thinking about doing it out of the potato emoji. I get 3 out of 5 potatoes.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Then we talked about DC last week too, correct?
Yeah. So we went to a couple park sites in DC. One of them was the Eisenhower, and kind of close to the Eisenhower Memorial was Joe's Seafood, Prime Steak, and Stone Crab, where you also got fries as a meal.
Oh, I did. Those were 4 out of 5. I think the funniest bit about that place was we thought we were kind of underdressed. Like, I showed up in, you know, a nice button down and shorts, and Ryan, you know, had a long sleeve button down and shorts on. And we walk in thinking, you know, it's a restaurant. And the waiter that came and got us had white gloves on and a tuxedo on. And we're like, oh, crap, we're underdressed, right?
Yep.
So we're sitting there for a bit talking, get our drinks, and we look over, and there's this guy. This guy walks in, and he's in Bass Pro Shop t-shirt
and cap.
And we both looked at each other and like, well, that's good. We're not the least dressed person here.
It was a great feeling.
It was a great feeling. It was a sigh of relief. Give that 4 out of 5.
Interesting. Then also in DC, we did go to the World War One National Memorial, which is on Pennsylvania Avenue. And also on Pennsylvania Avenue is the Elephant and Castle.
One of our favorite restaurants to visit in DC.
Oh, my favorite.
Yeah, probably my favorite. And we go to consistently. Elephant Castle, fantastic environment. French fries are probably a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, so now we have to work our way into the parks you talked about today. So Weir Farm, there used to be this wonderful restaurant right down the road from Weir Farm called Little Pub. It's not there anymore.
Big sad.
Yeah. How would you rate the fries from Little Pub?
I give it a 3 out of 5. And Little Pub was nice. I'm really sad it is gone because it was the nearest local restaurant to Weir Farm in that area.
Yeah, it's hard to find a good restaurant nearby now.
Yeah, I think the nearest one we go to is in Danbury, and I think we usually end up at like Black Angus, or we'll end up at Buffalo Wild Wings, something like that. But it's not the same as like a local restaurant.
Exactly. And then finally, when I go to the Appalachian Trail, there's sometimes I'll end up eating at Greca afterwards, which is a family friend's Greek restaurant, which is fabulous. How would you rate the fries there?
I got to give him a 5 out of 5. Dino always, you know, cooks. Dino's a wonderful, gracious host. Food's always great. Yeah. Always trying something new drink-wise there with him. Fantastic. Oh, yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. Ryan, I got to ask you, you get a pamphlet from every park, right?
Yeah, the official National Park Site pamphlet. They're called Unigrids.
What is going back on our recap from last week. How would you rate the Unigrids from Glacier?
So, for Glacier, it's interesting because it's not just Glacier National Park, it's the Glacier Waterton International Peace Park, which makes it kind of unique because I think the only other Unigrid that I know of that covers Canadian and United or American parks on the same pamphlet is the St. Croix Island International Historic Site in Maine. So it's very unique in that way. I would have liked more actual information about visiting the park. So I'm going to give it 4 arrowheads out of 5.
Okay. All right. We're going with an arrowhead system. I like it.
Yep. Because on most of the Unigrids, it has the National Park Service arrowhead on it.
Yep. Also a fantastic thing to look out for, the Unigrids. I believe they sell, I don't know if they're binders, but I've seen them online where you can buy like binders to store them in, which is kind of cool. I know you have, is it a box still, or do you have a place you store them?
I just have a shoebox.
That's what I figured. All right. Second park we're going to talk about is Eisenhower. Did we grab a Unigrid from there?
I did. So I like the fact that they actually had a Unigrid, because a lot of the new units, and this unit was established only last year, normally don't have Unigrids, but this one does. So I'm happy they're organized enough to have one. Once again, it's a little light on what you can do while visiting the memorial. It's all about Eisenhower's history. So I would have liked a little more about what you can do at the memorial. So I'll give it 3 arrowheads out of 5.
Okay. All right. Then we got the World War One Memorial.
So once again, that's a newer park. And because it's newer, it actually does not have a Unigrid yet.
Yeah. All right.
No rating there.
All right. Unfortunate. We'll have to go back and get one once they do have their stuff. I know they were still working on the park site itself because they were putting up a memorial. They just had
a drawing. Yeah, sketch. Yeah, that'd be a better word for it.
A sketch of it. And I do want to see it when it's finished because I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be made out of bronze.
Yes, that's correct.
Where else? Weir Farm.
So Weir Farm I'm kind of disappointed by, just because you go there and there's like 5 brochures that are Unigrid style, but there's no official one. So like in my hand, I have the self-guiding walking tour pamphlet, which is in the Unigrid style. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of cool paintings, a lot of history. It's definitely one of the better looking Unigrids, but I don't think it's the official one. So I'm going to give it 3 out of 5 arrowheads.
Okay. All right. And a quick one for you. Let's go back to my notes here. All right. So Appalachian Trail, do you have a Unigrid for that?
I do have a Unigrid for the Appalachian Trail.
Where did you get it?
I want to say Shenandoah National Park.
I had a feeling. Because I don't remember. Well, they don't have a visitor center for it in our neck of the woods. And I don't remember a, you know, one of those stands with Unigrids in it. I think it's built for it, but it doesn't have anything in it.
No, they have the local trail committees maps of the Connecticut area.
Yeah. All right.
Anyways. This one is massive. It has the entire map on here. And because it's so massive, it has everything on it. It has photos of scenic areas, wildlife. It has trip planning. It has some history on it. It has some volunteer opportunities, other questions, how the trail was made, et cetera, et cetera. Super informative. This is getting the good old 5 out of 5 arrowheads.
Is it in your top 5, you think?
I don't know. I haven't really. This is like for this episode of the podcast, the first time I really thought of how much I liked each Unigrid.
I know it's your go-to thing to grab at every park. Yeah. Like mine is park pins, which decorate my backpack.
But it's definitely my favorite so far. I guess we'll have to see on future episodes how it holds up.
Of course. Going into, you know, I guess the ending of our episode here. Mm-hmm. Top three seasons to visit Connecticut National Park sites.
You want me to start off?
Yeah, because I think mine might be a little bit different.
I think it might. So number three for me of best seasons to visit the Connecticut National Park sites. Number three is winter. And I chose it as number three because it's sunrise season on the Appalachian Trail. The sun rises much later, so it's much easier to get up, go out. You don't really have to worry about walking into any bears in the middle of the night. And then you kind of get good sunsets. The sunsets earlier in the day, so you're more likely to get caught out for sunset anyway. Although my favorite spot to watch the sunset on the Appalachian Trail, 10 Mile Hill, the sun gets blocked in the trees during the winter. It's only really visible during the late summer. There's not much going on for Weir Farm as the buildings are closed, so that kind of is why it's ranked three and not at number one or number two.
Mm-hmm.
Number two for me is spring. I love spring because the days continually get longer as it goes on. Spring also has National Park Week.
One of my favorite weeks.
You also get some flowers blooming. You got the birds returning. One of the local favorites that I have is the red-winged blackbird. I love the call that bird makes, and it shows up finally in spring before it leaves in probably late July or August. So spring is number two. And then my favorite season to go visit the Connecticut National Parks is summer, because you get the super long days. If you're on the Appalachian Trail, you can go swimming while you're hiking. In the late summer, you get some cool flowers like the goldenrods at Weir Farm. Once again, 10 Mile Hill is my favorite place to see the sunset. I actually got a picture of sunset at 10 Mile Hill that got posted by the Department of the Interior social media account, so I was happy by that. And the only time you can really see sunset there is during July and August. So summer is my favorite season here.
Okay. All right. Mine are going to be completely different. I'm putting spring at number three. Okay. I do like how, you know, everything's starting to bloom. You get to see the animals and stuff at Weir Farm, the flowers. The reason it's number three for me is because spring, it does have my favorite week, which is National Parks Week, but spring, I think it's perfect hiking weather almost. It's not too hot, not too cold, you know, but I really enjoy it. Summer is definitely number two for me. Summer brings out all the colorful flowers and stuff like that, and I really like taking photos of landscapes, so like that's the best season for that, in my opinion, is getting all the color.
Definitely.
Number one is definitely fall for me.
Wow. Okay.
I do like the changing of the leaves. I do enjoy taking photos because Connecticut's got this cool thing about it where, like, once the leaves start changing, it's you could definitely see it in the skyline when you do a big hike on the AT or one of the local trails here, and you could just see the colors for miles and miles and miles. It's something else, and I don't think I've experienced it anywhere else.
Yeah. Unfortunately, not a good year for that this year.
No, it's not.
I've been out there the past couple of days, and most of the leaves have already fallen before we really got that changeover.
Yeah. I think a best example of outside the Connecticut area for fall foliage was Shenandoah. We did it in September. I think it was September.
No, I think we missed it. We did it in October.
October, but it was still, you could still see the colors.
Yeah. I'll be honest, my favorite for fall foliage, and this is not in the national park system. I was in the Adirondacks last week, and the colors were really popping there.
Yeah. I think a good one that isn't also in the national park system is St. John's Ledge. I have a really good photo of all that.
That's on the Appalachian Trail.
Is it part of the Appalachian Trail?
Yep.
Okay.
Well, that's a good pick, though. You're right.
Yeah. That's a good place to see the colors in Kent change colors.
For sure, definitely.
Well, I think that's it for this episode. Make sure to like, subscribe on all major platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor. We're Parkmanship Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Make sure to follow and like posts. We'll be posting more photos from our national park adventures on those platforms. I don't know if you have anything else to chime in here, Ryan.
No, just follow us on social media and listen to our podcast. And we hope to see you out in the parks.
See you again next week.
See ya.